Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Shek. All right, so we have a week of free agency under our belt now. The draft looms, and in just a bit, to let you know where we're going today, we're going to be visited by a great cornerback for many moons now with the Pittsburgh Steelers, Ike Taylor, and a delight to speak with as well, and we have some experience with that. Real quick, let's say hello to my main man, seated to my immediate right, from NFL.com and NFL Network. It's Adam Rank. What's the poop with you, fella?
Hey, boss. Thanks for having me.
Sure, sure. You're very colorful today. I like that. You got the pink and blue stripes and the matching checkered shirt. Very nice. And
Thank you. Seated directly
across from us right now, a real draft guru, played his college ball at UNC, went and played for, I think, about eight NFL teams, something like that, and scouted for about that many. One of our favorites to kibitz with here at NFL Media, it's Bucky Brooks. What's the poop with you, fella?
What's going on, guys?
Well, I know it's your busy season. It's sort of like tax season, you know, for an accountant.
trying to get it all in.
Yeah, but yeah. I'll tell you this, for everybody who is fascinated by the draft, and I think most, probably about 25 years or so ago, whereas free agency now, I feel like people really get into it, and that's a sort of a phenomenon that's emerged in the last 5 years. Draft wonkery really emerged about a quarter century ago. And if you're one of those, then you absolutely want to follow Bucky Brooks at Bucky Brooks on the Twitter, because he's tweeting all the time, all his thoughts. And, of course, at NFL.com, you can track down his work and his mock drafts and his reviews of so on and so forth. Anywho, Buck, I want to give you a chance to talk. Let's go to the hot button issue with the draft right now. Teddy Bridgewater on Monday has his pro day. And I guess it depends who you talk to, but if you listen to what Mike Mayock says, he basically is saying, boy, he stunk to join up. What do you think? What happens to Teddy Bridgewater as a result of this? Speak on it.
I mean, I think you have to understand, to keep the workout in context, a pro day workout is really designed to take a close, hard look at a player, you know, because at the combine, it's a real controlled environment. You're not able to really put them through the battery drills that you may want to do as a team. And so the pro day gives you that opportunity. The problem is now with quarterbacks, everyone has a quarterback guru or private coach, someone who scripts the workout, which is designed to really put them in their best light. The problem with Teddy Bridgewater's workout is most people ace the test when it's done by their private guy. He didn't really look good. He didn't look good. He was inaccurate. He struggled with some of the throws, things that you saw from him at his pro day you hadn't seen from him on tape. And so now it just leads you to take a pause and really go back to the tape and wonder, is he as good as we thought he was, or is this kind of the sign of something that we didn't uncover when we watched the tape the first time?
It is a weird thing because, like you say, they script it out essentially. They know exactly where the player knows where they're going, and they have it basically coordinated, choreographed sort of workout. It's almost like a supermodel giving you a headshot of a bad picture of her.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like, what are you supposed to make of this? But doesn't his body of work at Louisville way outweigh
Absolutely.
The pro day?
I think what happens, and the mistakes that are made on draft day typically occur during this time of year when you're in the evaluation season watching them work out in shorts and T-shirts, because you become kind of enamored with what it looks like. And if a player looks the part, does it feel like he's going to be a player? And you're really far removed from the last time you saw them don the pads and really play football. And so for Teddy Bridgewater is probably not the best or the guy with the most gifted arm. He's not an A-plus arm talent, but what Teddy Bridgewater is a very, very good football player, and he does it with his mind over everything. He's a guy that really understands how to win the pre-snap process in terms of breaking down coverage and doing all those things. And so I've likened him to when I evaluated Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith coming out of college. I gave him a similar grade, which was pretty much a bottom-of-the-first-round grade. Now, they didn't go in those respective areas, but that's how you see him. You see them as guys that are developing the solid pros, and in the right system, they can lead you to greatness. And I think Teddy Bridgewater is that guy. Surrounded by the right team, he's going to be an outstanding player at the next level.
I've read a fair amount and talked with you even more about these quarterbacks, Johnny Football, and the late emergence of Blake Bortles, McCarron, and Carr. So if you're and the other thing is a recurring theme for me is that I at this point you don't need an elite QB. You don't need one of the top six QBs to win a Super Bowl. Witness the last three Super Bowl champions who they had under center. So if you're, say, the Texans or the Jags or the Browns, especially the Browns, who have that late first round pick, and then of course the other guys will come back at the top of the second round, would you be inclined then to go? Because I know you also feel about this collection of QBs. None of them really is worthy if you're doing it just based on best player available. You wouldn't put any of these guys in the top five or six. So are you saying go Clowney, go Mack, go Watkins, and then wait on a QB?
I mean, I think so. I think you can never go wrong when you take, like, really good players. And so at the top of the board, there are a ton of guys that are really good. Jadeveon Clowney, Anthony Barr.
Do it in order. Do it in best, regardless of position, best player available. That's the old Pittsburgh Steelers way of doing things.
That's the way everyone should do it. Jadeveon Clowney, to me, is the best player available. After Jadeveon Clowney, you can go either Greg Robinson or Jake Matthews. I would put Sammy Watkins in that mix. I think if I'm going to put Khalil Mack in, I would put him in at five. I think Anthony Barr would be right after him because I'm probably the dissenting voice on Khalil Mack and what he will be as a pro as opposed to what some others in the building and outside the building think.
Why? So people are down. I haven't heard a lot of many strong negative opinions on Khalil Mack.
I know, and I'm saying I may have the negative opinion.
Oh, you have the negative one.
Probably so. I just think, like, you have to evaluate it. Like, I have a thing with small school guys. Like, I was always taught, like, there's a difference in playing at a small school than a bigger school because the bright lights, the big stage, it matters. The level of competition matters. And so I understand that Khalil Mack played at the Mac, was a dominant player in the Mac.
I hope Ike Taylor, when he walks in here, doesn't hear you talking that talk.
No, but there's a difference, and it takes a bit of a transition. Look at the struggles that Eric Fisher had being a dominant player in the Mac, and he kind of struggled as the number one pick playing right tackle for Kansas City. Sometimes that stage can be a little too hot, too bright for them. So I worry about Khalil Mack in that regard. And also, when I watch him, he strikes me as more of a complimentary player than a dominant player. So if I was thinking of the San Francisco 49ers, he reminds me more of Ahmad Brooks rather than Aldon Smith. You don't go into the game saying, oh, my God, we got to stop Ahmad Brooks. No, it's about Aldon Smith. But Ahmad Brooks is capable of making plays. I believe Khalil Mack is that kind of player, not necessarily a guy that really sets the table.
I feel I'm with you on that, too. And when you look at a guy like Anthony Barr, who went out at the combine, did just 14 reps on the bench press, which is, to me, kind of ridiculous for a guy who wants to play professional football. But he did so well in his pro day. If you're a team, do you use the pro day as kind of like, well, we already kind of like this guy. Like, oh, yeah, he backed it up. Or do you look, if you don't like him, do you look at the combine and say, see, look, this is why we shouldn't draft him?
Well, you know, I think all of those things, like the basis of your opinion and evaluation should be done off the tape. When you're looking at guys at pro day workouts, you go in there with specific questions that you want to have answered. So for an Anthony Barr, I would want to see, can he drop? What does he look like as an athlete in terms of changing direction? If I'm thinking about bringing him in as a 3-4 outside linebacker, can I put him in space and feel comfortable about doing that? It's interesting that you bring Anthony Barr up because in that same situation, when I talk about Khalil Mack reminding me of Ahmad Brooks, I think Anthony Barr could be more of the Aldon Smith role. Right. And so a lot of times these guys are always –
he physically cuts that figure, real long.
They're always compared to each other, but I believe Anthony Barr is a more natural and explosive – pass rusher. And so I believe he's the guy that'll give you double-digit sacks. And so a lot of people like to compare these guys like they're one and the same, but I don't see them saying. I see them as having two distinct different paths for playing the game. And it's funny, I had this blog, Scouts Take blog. We did a kind of a man versus machine with analytics. And when you look at the analytics spit out for Anthony Barr, they're completely different. They compared him to a DeMarcus Ware, whereas with Khalil Mack, you had names like A.J. Hawk and Aaron Curry and Sean Weatherspoon, who are more complimentary-type players as opposed to franchise-type dominant edge players off the edge.
I like that Bucky's coming in and taking shots at all of our favorite guests. A.J. Hawk, Ike Taylor just a moment ago. Everybody else? You want to say something bad about Ross Tucker? Go ahead.
Hey. Oh, Ross Tucker.
You don't like him either?
Boy, he was awful. Hey, Buck, you're a UNC guy, of course. And the guy who lately, you'll be pleased to learn that I've been breaking down the film of late, and a late riser for Damashek on the board, Eric Ebron. I like this guy. Where does he rank if you erase wide receiver or tight end and you just look at them as pass catchers? Especially, I'm surprised that maybe the personnel guys aren't looking at it this way around the NFL, but you almost would think that they would be informed by what Jimmy Graham has done and some of these other more athletic tight ends have done over the last couple of years and say, who cares what you call him? We can line him up and he's a matchup nightmare, as they say. Isn't Eric Ebron, where's he rank compared to Sammy Watkins, Mike Evans, the guys that are getting a lot of heat right now from wide receiver?
He's right in the middle of that pack. I think you would take a Sammy Watkins or Mike Evans over top of him. When you get to the Marquise Lee, Odell Beckhams, and those guys, he probably ranks ahead of them. Eric Ebron is a special talent. I know there have been a lot of comparisons to Vernon Davis in terms of the way he can impact the game.
That's, you know, it's so funny you say that's exactly because I've been watching him now, and that's who he reminds me of. Body type. And
body type, like great body type. He really is built like and runs like a wide receiver.
And he's smooth. He's got the loose hips, as they say, right?
He's very fluid in his route running ability. He catches the ball really well, has great leaping ability. He's really tough to match up. He's what we call a move tight end in the pros, a guy that you want to put in motion, a guy that you displace out wide, a guy that you really move around the field to create the mismatches that you want in the passing game. I think he can be a dominant playmaker for somebody in the middle of the field. It just depends on, is your offensive coordinator creative enough to maximize the talent that he brings to the field?
Just a couple things real quick before Ike Taylor comes in here. I'd be remiss if I didn't point out what happened last weekend. You know, there's a new couple teams in the ACC.
Really?
Hoops. There's this team called Syracuse. It was really good.
They faded fast.
And then there's another team called Pitt, and then they handed it to the Tar Heels on Saturday in the ACC tournament.
They did win on Saturday.
What do you think of that?
However, they got beat by the Tar Heels early. They won at an opportune time.
Yeah.
But I think what we're seeing is the Big East discovered how tough the ACC was, how deep and talented the ACC was, which is why Syracuse lost six of their last eight, why Pittsburgh really struggled. I think they finally got double-digit wins in the regular season, but it's just a really, really difficult basketball conference for them.
It's very good, but let's be honest, the greatest, and I just watched that documentary,
that Requiem,
by the way.
That was outstanding, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't want to nitpick, but shouldn't they have called it, instead of Requiem for the Big East, shouldn't have been called Requiem for a Heavyweight Conference, referencing the old movie, the Requiem for a Heavyweight? I thought that would be more clever. Last thing, because we got to ask this of a draft guru, if you're the Houston Texans at one, what do you do?
Jadeveon Clowney.
No question about
Take Jadeveon Clowney, because now I can put Jadeveon Clowney beside J.J. Watt and Whitney Mercilus. I now have three young defenders that can grow together. And we've seen the model.
Yikes, I know,
about,
right.
You talk about the Seattle Seahawks being able to get in. A lot of the credit goes to the Legion of Boom, but it's that pass rush.
Sure.
Their ability to rush only four and drop seven gives them such an advantage. And so with the Houston Texans, if you think about playing defense first, that's the way you become relevant again in the National Football League, because all the top defenses were the ones that were in the playoffs.
You know, it's crazy. I saw Charles Davis, also of at NFL.com, has his latest mock draft out today, Tuesday, and he has Aaron Donald going, the Pitt kid, going to Seattle at 32. Plus, there's the buzz about Jared Allen going to the Seahawks. Imagine if they did that. If they reloaded like that on that defensive line, yeesh. But what do you think then about, if you're the Texans, do you go and try and get Mike Vick to come down there and take the thing over? Or A.J. McCarron? Because who's going to be their QB if they don't get one? That's the issue. So you get Clowney, but really, what are they going to do? If that Case Keenum for 2014? That sounds so uninspired, it's downright depressing.
I think they still have a lot of options. I know Matt Schaub has a huge base salary. I think it's $10 million, so he'll probably be jettisoned. But I can envision a scenario where you take Jadeveon Clowney, you come back at the top of the second round, and you find a quarterback that kind of fits what you're looking for. Based on how I see Bill O'Brien and what the success he had, and not only Penn State but at New England, I think Zach Mettenberger could be a guy that would serve. Big, strong arm guy. I know he has the knee injury, But depending on where he is in the process, I think he could be someone that they find fascinating because he has all the tools. He has the big body, the size that you're looking for, and he played in a pro-style system under Cam Cameron.
I'm telling you, because you and I talked about him a fair amount last fall. I think McCarron.
I like McCarron a lot.
If he's there at the top of two and you get Clowney, then that seems just about ideal to me.
And
not
also,
spectacular,
and also
but
the pieces are in place right. around him because he's always played in a talented system in terms of being a point guard at Alabama. He didn't necessarily have to always put it on his shoulder. So he understands I have Andre Johnson, I have New Hopkins, I have Arian Foster behind me. I got
sure.
a talented defense. All I have to do is make sure I distribute, play point guard, don't turn it over, don't give the other team extra opportunities, and we'll get more than our fair share of games.
All right, Bucky Brooks, at Bucky Brooks. Follow him on Twitter. Also look him up on NFL.com. All sorts of draft analysis with him, with Charles Davis, with Daniel Jeremiah, so on and so forth. The College Football 24/7 podcast, keeping you up to speed on what's going down here as we approach the draft in, 6 weeks or so already? It's coming up here fast. And good luck to your Tar Heels. Who do they got in the first round? Did they get in the tournament?
Providence, come on.
They got in?
What are you talking about?
Yeah. Good. I'm glad that they snuck in.
We're going to run to the four. It's set up for us to go to the four.
Run to the four. Bucky, before you go, real quick, the question of the month right now here on the show and in the universe is best Girl Scout cookie, Samoa or Thin Mint?
I think I would go with the Thin Mints.
Good for you, Bucky.
Really,
of simple elegance.
I'm not really big with the coconuts.
Good
and all
for
the other
you.
Stuff.
It's too. That's for kids. This is for the children. This is for the men. You understand? It's for the grown-ups.
Please.
All right. Be gone, Bucky. See, Bucky Brooks knows what I know, that the Girl Scout cookie Samoas are for children, and the Thin Mints are for the elegant debonair types like Bucky and myself. All right, he's gone. And look who walks in through 66, the revolving door, before Ike Taylor walks in here. Here he is all the way from England. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's handsome, eh?
Hello, handsome. How are you?
I am very well indeed. And given that there's a box of Samoas, this child would like one right now. Am I allowed
Go
one
ahead.
Black tie?
Go ahead. Dig
no,
in.
These are for when we have guests and they need to chime in. They need to pick a side. Team Thin Mints or Team Samoas?
Well, that's good because I won
guest
of the year 2013 in the Sheckies.
Because you were friends. Go ahead. You can have
Thank
one.
Thank you very much. Also, because you ate With five of my Samoas.
That is true. That is true.
This time last week.
Hey, since last I was here, have we somehow transitioned into Bizarro World? Because suddenly Black Tie is doing stuff to produce, in fact.
Really?
He brought cookies in. He brought in Girl Scout cookies. This is unprecedented for him.
But let's be honest.
What's his angle?
There's some payoff.
I don't know. There's something suspicious going on
here. Is he trying to look, more attractive to the ATL podcast?
It is free agency, after all.
It is free agency.
I'm keeping my eye on Black
I tell you
Tie.
What, those Samoas are delicious.
He's up to
Adam,
something.
Adam, have one. Go on. You can afford to right now.
No, I'm good. Thank you.
Old rank, maybe. New rank, no chance.
He's under 70 pounds at this point. I'm sure you could have one.
Handsome. While we wait for Ike to come in here, will you or have you ever filled out a bracket, a college basketball bracket?
I wouldn't know where to begin. We are doing a bracket on NFL.com, though. Thank you. What a wonderful segue.
Oh, see?
Fans on NFL.com will be able to vote for the greatest quarterback of all time. We divided them up into four eras, or eras, if you want to speak English. And
eras is what you say.
Era, yes.
Oh, all right. I didn't know that.
You guys say era, which is,
I know that,
which is an era. We divided them up into four brackets. Right now, players who are playing right now, the Generation X, the MTV generation, and the Baby Boomers. And we, over the next few weeks, we're going to give you, the fan, a chance to vote for the greatest quarterback of all time. It's exciting.
That is good. And so when's it kick off?
It's going to start Thursday.
This Thursday, March 20th.
We're playing along with the tournament.
Everybody does one. Everybody's got one of these things. About 8 years ago, I did the quintessential one. Mm-hmm. All others pale in comparison. I did the greatest movie villains of all time. Tournament of 64, and the nice little wrinkle was we actually did some play-by-play for each fight.
Right.
So in the theater of your mind, you could imagine Magneto versus Johnny from Karate Kid.
Winner?
Well, it was Darth Vader won.
Right.
And if I remember correctly, I'm trying to think of who the Final Four was. Johnny from Karate Kid was the big underdog. You know, he's a teenager who does karate and not all that well.
How's he going
to
go?
Not well enough
Darth
to
Vader.
Beat deceptogenarian Mr. Miyagi at karate, apparently, even with the help of his friends. And yet, things just broke right. That's how those tournaments sometimes go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he made it all the way to the Final Four. I think Vader killed him. And these were fights to the death, of course. And I think Predator made it. I'm pretty sure Predator got there. I can't remember who the fourth.
So final, like Vader, Predator. That would be pretty.
I think it was
final.
Vader. I think it was Vader v. Johnny.
Right.
Was the final. And Vader dispatched him. I mean, the thing with Vader is I love when people want to have this argument with me about who would win among super villains. I mean, who would win if all the villains had a fight? Well, Darth Vader would.
Of course he would.
Yeah, he doesn't need to come within 20 feet of you.
Vader could be preparing his soup for lunch, and as you know, Vader only eats soup because how else would he be able to eat?
Oh, I never really thought about
what he drinks soup through a straw through the grill.
Is that right?
Yeah, true.
Deleted scene,
and then he would be able to strangle you while he was preparing leaking potato soup.
I find your lack of faith in the Force disturbing.
Yeah,
he could just choke you from 20 feet away. What are you going to do? Yeah,
Darth Sidious does not beat him. The guy who is basically controlling Darth Vader.
Listen, that Sidious character, I am on the fence a decade removed now. You know, just as I do with Raiders of the Lost, Indiana Jones, the fourth one, I choose to pretend it doesn't really exist, you know. Similarly, I'm starting to think the same way about those prequels, those three movies. Okay. Do we have to acknowledge their existence?
He's still in six.
Yeah, I guess he is. You're right
about
that.
He's the main guy. He's the main bad guy throughout the whole course of those movies.
Your faith in your friends is your weakness. That guy,
Yeah.
No, you're right. But listen, fact is Yoda, a young and spry Yoda almost beat him. Enough of this, because look who it is, everybody, walking into 66 as we speak. We didn't even wait to be offered him. That's how comfortable he is here in Studio 66, probably because he wears black and gold, just like the man who the studio is named after, Mario Lemieux, number 66. Here he is, another Pittsburgh sports legend, everybody. Number 24, he's going to retire in the black and gold, and I couldn't be more pleased about it. Here he is, Ike Taylor. What's the poop, fella?
Man, the poop is these Samoan cookies.
Park our cars in the same garage because I consider them poop. Here's the bet. Well, I think you've just made your vote by going straight for the Samoas and skipping over
that
the
box
thing
was there. Open.
Maybe that's he's true. Maybe he's too polite
but
to open.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. Okay.
No. That's a wrong choice, Ike Taylor.
Don't we all make the wrong choice sometimes?
I guess so. Hey, is your given name Ike or Isaac?
Ivan.
I should know that as a longtime Steeler guy.
Ivan.
Kind of.
Ivan, yeah. I like the name Ike. I think that was... Were you Ike from a very young age?
Yeah.
That's a cool name for a little kid, I think. And then also, it makes you rugged. You know, it's like a hard name, you know? Do you agree?
A little bit.
Hey, how do you feel about now that it's all done with? You're back with the Steelers. Is this... I mean, you know, from a human element, you know, maybe if you had said I'm going out onto the open market and see and maybe I make an extra million, which ain't jive. I know that the common man says, like, what do these guys need an extra million for?
Right.
But how does that play in your brain? Because I'm sure you have a lot of money, but does that, like, man, listen, $2 million is $2 million versus, you know, the loyalty and I want to retire where I started, all that.
We're talking about $2 million in the state of California, New York, or $2 million in the state of Florida or Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Paycheck is totally different.
That's fair. Yeah.
Yeah, when it comes down to taxes and cost of living, it can get very expensive. Now, the weather every day, between 70 and 78 degrees, you can't beat this. You wake up smiling, you go to sleep smiling. If you live in Pittsburgh, man, it's 28, 25 right now.
I know, but that let's
not...
What
about earthquakes, guys?
Well, that's what I was going to ask, Black Tie.
Crying out loud.
That's my question.
When have you even experienced an earthquake in the last 15 years?
Well, a couple days ago.
No, that 4.4, that doesn't even count.
It felt like...
4.7. No, they downgraded it.
To 4.4?
Emmanuel Sanders was running the Richter scale.
No, 4.7 was my 40 time. That's you're getting 4.4, 4.7 confused.
If it's below a 6, it doesn't count. Stop talking about it.
All right. Well, no, I want to talk about it because, listen,
What's up?
Swagger. Can I call you Swagger?
Call me whatever you want to call me. Just don't call me Collect.
All right. Now listen to me. Now listen to me. I want to talk about.
I'm saying that right now. That's a drop. That's going to be stored and saved as a drop.
All right.
That's
we'll awesome. Look forward to it, Black Tie. Now, in the meantime, so Sunday is to me quintessential Southern California day. I took my kids to Santa Monica. We went. They frolicked in the sea in March. And I tried to explain to them. They're 5 and 7. Jean-Claude Van Damischek and his sister, Oprah. I said to them, you guys can't fathom what's going on because everywhere else in the country, it's snowy and cold and you're playing in the ocean.
Right.
They didn't care because they wanted to keep frolicking.
Really,
then we went and rode a roller coaster at the Santa Monica Pier. It was, it was delightful. And then the night is punctuated by an earthquake. Where were you? Did it wake you up? Because you're out here for the week. It's Steeler week, I should point out. It's Dynasty Month on NFL Network. And Swagga is here to represent the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I was earthquaking at the time doing an earthquake.
Oh, my. Is that? Swagga just broke out a little boogie from his seat there. That was pretty good.
Yeah.
So do you know how to shimmy then?
Man, I shimmy and I shimmy. That earthquake threw off my rhythm, though. I had to get my rhythm back.
At 6 in the morning. That's what man like you does.
I had to get my rhythm back. Rhythm.
Mm-hmm. I got you. So, yeah. So
did the earth move for you? I mean, you presumably you were asked that question.
No, I moved the earth.
Yeah.
The earth didn't move me. I moved the earth.
Swagga, I want to know about this. You've only been with the Steelers, but you played under Bill Cowher, and now you play under Mike Tomlin. You've been around. You've been to Pro Bowls. You've met some other coaches. I'm interested, again, from the human side of things, who, in your estimation, at least of the guys you've met, who's the coolest coach, the head coach, most fun to be around and all that?
Coach T.
I haven't heard many bad things about the guy, but
Coach Tomlin, hands down. He's a player's coach.
He's funny?
He's a player's coach, hands down. He caters to his players. And as a coach, that's rare. Usually coaches are like drill sergeants.
Mm-hmm.
But Coach T, what do y'all need?
Who would be the other guys? Rex Ryan, I assume, would be in the mix for that?
Coach LeBeau is the ultimate player's
coach. You guys,
coach.
Man, you Steelers all...
himself.
I mean, I don't know that there's anybody more revered by his players than Dick LeBeau, the longtime defensive coordinator.
Man, we call him Jesus walking on earth
because
he's that calm and that smooth.
Well, what do they – so, all right, but Dick LeBeau's system, though, does – well, listen, I thought you guys – I mean, obviously 6-2 in the second half of the season, rounding into shape. All of a sudden, though, here come the Browns looking pretty good after all that mess.
Right.
Were you amused by that, by the way? Do you go like, see, no matter how bad it gets for us, at least the Browns are always there. They're worse than us.
No, we feel like, man, ain't nobody beating the Steelers but a Steelers. So the games we do lose, we feel like we beat ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The games we win, we feel like, well, we're supposed to win.
Did you, though, so now the Browns look like they're getting better at least.
Correct.
The Bengals, I mean, listen, facts are facts. They rule the division right now. And then the Ravens are good now with Steve Smith. Are you interested in locking up with Steve Smith now going into 2014?
A healthy Steve Smith is hell. So people ask me all the time who is probably the toughest receiver to go against, and I tell them since I've been starting, Steve Smith, hands down.
Really? Because you told us, I guess it was last August, you told us that one-on-one, you wouldn't take anybody over Antonio Brown.
No.
And listen, when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong, just like Jerry Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing.
Right.
As I'm sure you remember.
Okay.
So I was wrong about this. I scoffed when you said Antonio Brown is the best one-on-one. I scoffed
I was
at
playing?
You. I thought you were doing some team loyalty jazz, you know?
That's for real.
Well, I mean, listen, hard to argue with the way things went,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, he's for real. He's the real deal.
Let's go through that, then. Let's get your list. It's a good thing to do. People like listening to these sorts of things.
Okay.
Best receiver, period.
Antonio Brown, the best.
Come on! You don't think Antonio Brown's the best, period.
The best all-around receiver?
If you could draft right now, the Steelers are starting from scratch for 2014. You need a wide receiver. Your pick is Antonio Brown over Calvin Johnson?
My pick is Antonio Brown.
All right. I'm not going to – I don't want to, get into the back and forth with you about it. I just am surprised because I would think everybody would say him. Calvin
Antonio
Johnson.
Brown over Calvin. I mean, I play a – and Calvin is a monster.
Yeah.
He is a different breed.
Okay, so Brown won.
I'm going to get Brown one. I'm going to get A.J. Green.
A.J. Green, too, over Calvin Johnson.
I'm going to get A.J. Green.
You saw Calvin Johnson, too, in that, snowy, weird game.
I'm going to go Calvin for three.
Calvin three. All right.
I'm going to go Calvin for three.
What about that crazy, it was like a phenom out of nowhere. Josh Gordon suddenly emerged in that three-game stretch, one of which was against you guys.
Nah, I mean, I need consistency. I can't go off for 1 year.
All right. Well, speaking of consistency, and by the way, you mentioned A.J. Green.
Right.
At number two.
Right.
And then you have Steve Smith to worry about. I wanted to help get you ready. I think we need to start a new little project here. Last week, we had Nate Burleson here in 66, and we asked him if he had a talent, and it turned out he knows how to rap, and he did it pretty well. Matter of fact, here, take a listen.
Yeah, I'm in the mix. I'm doing my thing in Studio 66. I'm in L.A., but I'm a West Coast boy. I got a nice orange little toy.
See, that's just a little tidbit. Sounded all right, didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, no. But now, you don't know. He's a free agent. He could wind up in the locker room with you. And then what?
And what's your point?
Well, then I'm going to have to I point out to him that Swagga was in here and was not. His jaw didn't hit the floor in amazement at his rapping skills.
Carry on.
All right. So I was talking to Black Tie.
Right.
And I said, you know, this is interesting because a lot of NFL players obviously are good at stuff other than just football. And Black Tie said, you know what? Let's make it a public service, or at least a player service. Instead of just you exhibiting it, let's see where you stand. It's sort of an off-season regimen. And I think what we should do is to help get you ready is little competition. That's what you need. Because, you know, the Steelers 2-6 last year, you didn't hit the ground running.
Right, right.
Maybe that was the problem. Now, if you take on Damashek in some sort of skill competition, then you'll be right when the season kicks off. You understand?
I'm trying.
Okay. Here's what we'll do. We're going to do an athletic skill. What has Black Tie decided for us today?
I would love for you guys to take part in a little free throw contest. That's all it is.
Oh, that's not good for Swagga, though, because I'm really good. I'm a very good shooter. He'll lose that. I don't want that for
him. You going to take that from Dave? In a free throw contest?
Yeah, he's just trying to psych himself up. And he's trying to use reverse psychology.
No.
So you're really good at free throws?
I'm
not that good at free throws.
Really?
Yeah.
You ever play any basketball?
I went to college for basketball.
Did you really? I should know a lot more about Swagga.
You don't know his name. You don't know. Jeez.
I'm red
Research.
In the face.
Right.
I'm red in the face about it.
Right.
You don't all right. Care. So
I know that he's once wanted to wear a kilt. I don't know if you've ever fulfilled that.
No, I haven't, but I will, though.
You will? Okay.
I will. I should have wore it yesterday, right?
Right? That's exactly the perfect time to have that happen.
I should have wore it yesterday.
Swagga, before we... I really do want to shoot
studio,
free throws.
Do you think they'll allow me to wear it on the studio? Yes. A kilt?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
I would have had so much feedback.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry. So what? So you're a day late.
November,
so what? No one cares.
November 30th is St. Andrew's
everything.
Day.
Yeah. I hear you, but you could get away. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world if you do it a day after St. Patrick's Day.
Nah.
Just say you went out after the show on Monday and never went to bed.
Perfect time.
Yeah, you're right. It would have been better.
The perfect time to do it.
Yep. All right, we'll do it in 2015. Let's put it on the books right now. We'll set it in stone. I'll put a call into the commish so nothing slips through the cracks, and then we'll do it in a year.
Put a reminder around March 1st.
Swagga, before we do the free throws, I want to know about this. What do you think about this AFC? Do you sit back and at this stage in your career, let's say you have, how many years do you figure to play?
Yeah, about two or three.
Two or three.
Technically, this is my last year.
It is? Technically? What do you mean? By contract? Yeah. But you hope to play another couple.
Only with Pittsburgh.
I hear you. And by the way, we talked about it the last time you were in. There was a fair amount of buzz, whatever it was, maybe 2-3 months ago, about maybe you moving to safety. It seems like that's gone the way of the dodo bird, though, right? You're not doing that, or are you?
Dirty rumor.
It is. So there was never any evidence
Correct.
To this. Are you hoping, would you like to see a kid like Darquez Dennard come in from Michigan State? Are you aware of draft prospects? Do you care about such things?
Yeah, me and Kevin Colbert, the GM.
Yeah, I know Kevin Colbert.
We talk all the time, and I feel like I'm his assistant GM.
Is that right? Wow, cool.
No lie. That's something I would love to do after my career also. But, yeah, anybody who can come help us win, regardless on what position it is, I'm all for it.
Well, what would you like to see the Steelers do? In an ideal world.
A D lineman.
That's what you think? Over, I see, you know who I think? We were just talking with Bucky Brooks, the draft guru in here. I think the Steelers should take Eric Ebron. I like that big kid out of UNC. I like that tight end. Heath Miller, as good as he is, 11 years now, and nice athletic, big body. You know Roethlisberger's always talking about he wants a nice long receiver like Plexico was in his prime.
Is deep enough in the draft to get a great receiver in the second and third round. So getting a receiver in the first round, I think, is a stretch.
So what do you think? What defensive lineman strikes your fancy?
A D-tackle. I like the two defensive linemen from LSU. I like the two defensive linemen from Notre Dame. I like the defensive lineman from Florida State. So
how about Aaron Donald from the guy who played in Heinz Field there? You impressed with him?
Who?
Aaron Donald, the tackle out of Pitt.
He cool. He's going to be an outside linebacker slash DN.
Oh, is that right? They're going to move him around like that.
Yeah, depending on what kind of defense he goes to. If he goes to a 4-3, he's going to be a DN. If he goes to a 3-4, he's going to be an outside linebacker.
What QB do you like the best?
QB? I like my QB from UCF.
Blake Bortles. Yeah, he moves around really nice. He's sort of like – It's a little easy to say that, but I mean, he's a better runner than Roethlisberger ever was.
Correct.
But still, that kind of physical runner that guys can bounce off of a little bit.
6'4", 230.
What do you make about Johnny Football? What's going to be with him in the pros?
You're going to get a football player.
Is that good?
It's great. Because he's going to come into camp feeling, hey, I'm against all odds. A few teams pass me up. He's going to play with the chip on his shoulder, like a Brett Favre, a young Brett Favre.
But he's not big like Brett Favre. I feel like he's
Yes, he is. I've met Johnny a few times in person. He's bigger than what you think.
Really?
He
seems to me, every time I see him, I always think he looks slight to me, like he's going to get broken in the NFL. He looks like RG3 a little bit, but shorter, like that thin frame.
RG3 is a big guy.
He's taller than you expect.
Yeah,
RG3
is like 225.
Is that right? He's that big?
Yes.
Swagga, so what let's last question. What Black Tie's trying to wrap us up here. What do you want to do? Go shoot free throws here?
So, Ike, you guys ready to do it? Five free throws each.
I want to ask, but listen, we're talking to a Pittsburgh Steeler on Steeler Week, and he's one of the long-standing voices of the locker room.
We have a window to shoot this.
I got you, but a lot of people like to – but Ike Taylor is a guy who they go to when they need some thoughts on the Pittsburgh Steelers. 2 straight 8-8 seasons.
Correct.
What do we think if the Pittsburgh Steelers can win the 2014 AFC North if blank? And by blank, I mean you fill out the rest.
If our defense can stop the run, if we can get back to the old Pittsburgh Steelers stopping the run defense, we'll put ourselves in position.
That was something, because you guys for 10 years were in a thing where you really no one ran against. Everybody was two-dimensional against you.
Correct. Well, one. Dimensional until the last 2 years, they were able to run.
Yeah,
the ball on
and also big plays. That was also a killer in 2013.
Big plays was definitely a killer.
Yeah,
on defense for sure.
This is a touchy thing, and I hope you're all right with it. But Dick LeBeau, as great as he is, and has created a defense that everybody, you know, not just within Pittsburgh but around the NFL, people admire. Is there anything to know what you're going to say, but is there anything to when you see the so-called elite QBs, Tom Brady in particular, he seems to know how to break it down by spreading you guys out. Is it that simple? I mean, why is that not the solution? Hey, spread out the Steelers defense and they can't really do what they want to do with the pass rush.
What happened in New England, that was the first time in Steelers history that happened. Points and yards allowed from a Pittsburgh Steeler defense. So that's what I'm saying. Like, we getting so caught up on what we need to draft, but when you're building a house, you build your house from the ground up, not from the roof down. So it starts up front. We were at our best when we had a Casey Hampton, Aaron Smith, Brett Kiesel, Chris Hokie, Travis Kersky. I'm naming guys you don't even know. Like,
don't tell me I don't know.
Listen, we had depth at the D-line. So you sit back and you look at Seattle. They have depth at the D-line.
Yep.
They rush foe. Them foe get tired. They bring in a whole nother foe. So you got technically two sets of starters on the D-line. It means a lot to the coordinator and to the defense. So now everybody gets to eat. What I mean by everybody gets to eat everybody is making plays, from the linebackers to the secondary, because the D-line is doing the dirty work.
Is that the kid from Notre Dame then? Is that the Knicks? Is that who you fancy then?
You got a
put
few
him
options.
Right on the nose?
You got a few options. I know we're at our best. And just to clarify that Seattle was at their best when they had a fire D-line. And them boys got a D-line out this world. They got a rotating eight.
Should the Steelers, last question, Black Ties Rapping wants us to go shoot free throws, and so do I. But I don't want to beat you, you understand? I want you to win, but I'm not going to let you win. Do you see the difference?
I got something for that.
Now, I want to know, though, about should the Steelers consider, given the pieces, should they consider going to 4-3?
No.
No. I mean, well, now there's not any depth on the D-line. Now what would you do? You'd have to have to create a...
Yeah, you can't go to a
4-3. A fair amount of buzz, though.
And everybody is going to a 3-4 anyway. Like, everybody's getting out. Unless you have the Seattle Seahawks defensive line, everybody's getting out, though.
What do you think of this buzz that James Harrison wants to come back to Pittsburgh? Is that a good idea or no?
We started that buzz yesterday here.
Yeah.
Live. I think it's a great idea.
You like this idea?
Yes, I do.
He'd bring a lot to, well, you know, somebody to back up Worlds.
He'll bring what he bring.
Yeah. All right. And last question. I'm sorry. And then we will go shoot free throws. Jarvis Jones. Mm-hmm. Where is he now a year in? Because I talked to, I'll tell you this. Ryan Clark, who's one of our favorites here in 66, comes through. He said before the season, he said, I think he's not big enough. And you could see that plainly with the naked eye. He just didn't seem like he'd filled out. Is he bigger now? Because is that the problem for him, or was that the issue with him, that he just wasn't strong enough for the NFL last year?
He was probably our strongest outside linebacker last
year. Physically strongest?
Physically.
Really?
Now, when you want to talk about going in the weight room and lifting weights, no. But when you want to talk about bringing a physical mentality on the field, yes.
That's how I do it.
Other than Lawrence Timmons and Vince Williams, the first outside linebacker when it comes to physicality last year, I got to give it to Jarvis.
Boy, Lawrence Timmons, one of the best. Who's the best defensive player you've ever played with?
TP3. I call him TP3 for the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Troy Polamalu.
He's the best player, best defensive player you've ever seen or played with.
He does stuff on the field to be like, holy moly.
Yeah.
He do stuff, and I get so fired up, I start talking to the other team. Like, man, you know the kid is special. You know he talk to Jesus all the time. You know he know the play.
Is that weird when he's doing that? What we should do, and then he's doing the crossing himself
stuff?
That's
one thing about Troy. He doesn't tell anybody. He just does it.
But he does, though. He is. But you see him on camera all the time when you're watching on TV. He's always before and after every play. He crosses himself.
He's a game. Yeah, that's what he do. He's a game changer.
And that's all right.
Yeah, that's perfect.
All right, Black Tie wants us to run out there and shoot our free throws. And real quick, Handsome Hank and Rank here. Any questions? I don't want to eat up all the time. Anything
you did already, right?
I did eat up a lot.
You did eat all the time. I
didn't have one question. I can't help it.
You've got to go out and shoot ball with him now. So we're done.
Well, you can throw any questions.
I want to know why you didn't go to another team and get a free dinner. Like, sure, if I was a free agent, I'd be like, I'm going to go to 3 cities. I'm going to get wooed. You take me out for dinner, then I'm going back to Pittsburgh and sign in.
That's a good idea.
It's the principle.
Really?
And the principle was me going somewhere else didn't make sense.
Right.
It's rare for a guy to stay with one team for 12 years.
Then you should have got each AFC North team to take you out for dinner. And then you go, right.
Then you know where their heads are. Or you go to New Orleans, you eat, you feast for 48 hours, and you say, oh, you know what? It's not going to work out, Saints. So.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. I would have gone into Cincinnati and been like, seriously, what do you guys think of Andy Dalton?
It's like,
and then come back and be like, they don't like him.
It's like flying on a jet for the past 15 years, then all of a sudden you just got to go coach for the next five. Mm-hmm. That's how I look at the organization.
Obviously, you're preaching to the choir when you're talking to me, but does that, to that point, to what Rank says there, does that ever happen? If you went on free agent visits with, say, the Ravens, would Ozzie Newsome or anybody be like, listen, we really need help. I mean, nobody knows this, but we have a problem with our secondary, blah, blah, blah kind of thing. Would they concede that to you? And then you could use it against them. You could go back, hey, guess what, Kevin Colbert? The Ravens are looking at blank, and we better do something about that.
I don't know, because I was never in that situation.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, well, I'm talking to the only guy who hasn't been in that situation. All right, listen, Ike Taylor, the time for talk is through. The time for action has arrived.
Let's get it cracking.
You ready to do this?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. I want you to know I'm rooting for you.
Okay.
All right?
I want you to know you're going to get your ass kicked.
I don't know like that. There's no reason for that kind of talk at all. But listen, everybody laughed when you said it, so congratulations for that. At your final victory of the
day. I don't
like
to toot my own horn, but toot, toot.
You and Rank, but you guys both like using that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Fist bump.
Rank the Tank.
Yeah. Rank the Tank, Handsome Hank, Swagga, and Damashek. We're going to go outside. We're going to shoot shoot some free throws, and we'll shoot a video of it so that we have a visual record of this. Boy, I really am hoping you don't lose because that would be bad.
They'd let's
be
go like, do it, guys. Let's
you
go
lost
do it. Let's
to
go
that
do
big
it.
Nose let's pot go. Belly? Now, how'd He's you already. Lose to that one? All right, so we'll wrap it here, but we'll be back with another episode for you later in the week. We have much free agency to update you on. We have, obviously, the draft gets closer.
What you
closer,
sitting on, Damashek? What you sitting on?
What do you mean, what am I sitting
on? What that is you sitting on?
You think, I'll tell you. Here's what I did. This gives me no pleasure to do it. This is a great sacrifice. I feel like I have the Cincinnati Bengals jersey, number 18, as you can see, A.J. Green. I'm going to wear it. Because, again, playing into what I said earlier, I want you to consider this a workout, you know, an off-season workout to get your head right. Do you think I want to wear this hideous jersey?
Let's go, man.
I don't want to wear this hideous jersey, but I'm going to do it for you, Ike Taylor. All right, we'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce later on. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.